Amen. What do I want to talk about briefly today? As I said, we're still fasting throughout this month. And the word the Holy Spirit laid to my heart to share with you is that, you know, prayers that accomplish. Prayers that accomplish. Now, that verse says that, you know, the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous man avails much. And you ask yourself, what is an effective prayer? What kind of prayer actually, you know, accomplishes anything? This morning, the Holy Spirit laid to my heart to share something else, which I will share. And it was something Pastor Ago shared with the reading pastors recently. And he talked about the characteristics of birthing prayer. The first thing that it's important to know is that if your prayer is going to accomplish anything, if it's going to avail much, it needs to be word-based. There needs to be a supporting word. It needs to be based on the word of God. It's not about praying generic prayers. If you don't have a word from God, you need to ask him for one. I link that word-based prayer to having a burden. Having a burden to pray. Have you ever noticed that if you don't have a passion for something, you don't really hold it there? Just think to yourself for a moment. What do you have a passion for? What do you hold dear to yourself? What really excites you? Think about what really excites you, what you really enjoy doing. And think about how you do that thing in comparison to pretty much everything else. You love playing football. Does anyone need to tell you to go play? You love basketball. Does anyone need to remind you, oh, you know what? You have basketball practice next week. You love reading. Does anyone tell you you need to read like 3 books in a week or 5 books in a week? And you do it with ease. You enjoy, I remember hearing, the guy's name is Adlon Cruz. Now, Adlon Cruz is a pianist, talented pianist, gospel, you know, musician. Adlon said that when he was young, he enjoyed playing the piano so much that he could play for hours on end as a child. And when he takes his break from playing, what he does is he watches TV, listens to the adverts, the jingles that are played. So you watch a commercial, that's when he's relaxing. He watches commercials, listens to jingles and all, goes back and starts playing those jingles. Nobody forced him to do it. So my point is, whatever you have a passion for, you will do it, you know, without stress. You will go all out to do it. And I'm saying that we need to have a burden for prayer. It's so easy to say, okay, let us pray. Prayer becomes a chore. It becomes a task when we don't have a burden. One thing you can do is, what concerns you? Start praying about that thing. The people that succeed, the people that invent things and, you know, come up with new product developments and things like that, what do? They identify a need. And they focus on that need. What are you concerned about? Let what you're concerned about spur you to pray. What would you like to see change? What would you like to see happen? Have a burden to pray. You know, 3 people come to mind when talking about people that had a burden. Nehemiah. Daniel, they had a burden. They had a burden for their country. But there's also something that characterizes their prayer. If you look at Nehemiah chapter 1 from verse 1 to 11, when Nehemiah was praying, he prayed God's word back to him. He was concerned about the remnant, but he prayed God's word back to him. And that's why we're saying, let your prayer be word-based, but have a burden. And if you don't have it, pray that God will give you a burden. There was a clip I listened to. I wish we could play it. And it was talking about Canadian schools. How many people, I think it was Christian Broadcasting Network, about how, you know, in Canada, they're teaching children about transgender and, you know, that it's okay in schools, part of their curriculum. You know, all the old rainbow idea that, you know, whether it's transgender, fluid gender and all that, this is what the system is doing. You know, sometimes you talk about righteous indignation. It really got me ticked off, and I'm thinking, how can we condone such a thing? And you look at the UK, and you're thinking something similar, if we're not careful, is coming. If you've got a child, are you praying concerning your child's school? If you're a student, I mean, we've heard of students that have expressed their faith, and because of that, they've been hacked. Some were, you know, expelled from school. Are you happy as a student? Are you happy with the state of affairs in your schools, whether you're in the university, in college, or in secondary or primary school? The fact that you cannot boldly express your faith and someone wouldn't call you a religious bigot should be a concern. There's a saying that all that it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to keep quiet. The more we keep quiet, the more we'll be marginalized. Your faith, you're saved, but your faith should not just be, I'm saved and that is fine. The more we keep quiet, I was sharing with the ministers, I think it was last week. Okay, I'll leave that. We need to have a burden for prayer, and our prayers should be word-based. They should be anchored in the word of God. Praise the Lord. Secondly, they should be spirit-led. Our prayers should be spirit-led. We're talking about, you know, Paul said that he'll pray in the spirit, he'll pray in understanding. But we need to realize that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, believe you me. The way I look at it is this. Why is it that if I say I'm a Christian, people get worked up and they already have a very biased attitude against me? If I express that I'm a Christian, they're already thinking, oh, there's something wrong with you. That's not normal. It's not natural. It's not natural for you to say you're a Christian and people already, they're hating you. Why? If you say you're a Buddhist, will they do that? No. So it's not a physical thing. And the sooner we start realizing that it's not physical, the better. It is a spiritual warfare. It is a spiritual battle we're engaged in. So it is a battle that we cannot fight purely in the physical. It is a battle that we cannot fight with our understanding. When we pray, let us cultivate the habit of praying, allowing the Holy Spirit to help us what to pray, how to pray, when to pray. When should we pray? Our prayers should be constant. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18 says we should pray always. Pray with thanksgiving. Pray without season. What does it mean to pray without season? Are you communicating with God on a constant basis? The fact that you're in school or you're at work doesn't mean you can't pray. Are you conversing with God? Are you in tune with God? Be constant, be consistent, communicate with them. The fourth one, solitude. Create time to spend with God. You can pray consistently. You can pray 24/7. But also carve out time to spend, special time to spend with God. I heard someone say once that if you're praying, I think Kay might have said something similar this morning, that if you're praying 1 hour last year and you're not praying 1 hour this year, that maybe you're backsliding. But that's not what Kay said, right? Yeah. So when that person said this, a young man sitting next to me said that, okay, so what happens when we get to 24 hours? But the point is not that. It's not so much that you're praying 1 hour last year, you have to be praying 2 hours this year and 3 hours next year. So in 24 years' time, you're praying 24 hours a day. 25 years' time, you're praying. That's not the point. But it's that thing about being constant and being consistent in the place of prayer. You know, you can pray for 5 minutes, and your five-minute prayer will do, you know, major things that someone else that prayed for 1 hour might not achieve. But let us cultivate that habit of praying constantly. We need to understand the times we're in. The Bible says that we should redeem the time because the days are evil. We're living in evil days, evil times, which is all the more reason why we need to draw closer to God. We need to understand that there is a time to pray. See, religion, faith, Christianity is not as it used to be. I think there are greater challenges for us as believers now. You want your prayers to be answered. Avoid sin. We cannot overemphasize that. Avoid sin. Praise the Lord. I think we're in an age where I think we're smarter in this age than ever before. We're in 2018. In the last 70 years, there have been more inventions, more innovations than the preceding 1,950 years. If you think about the 20th century, there have been more inventions than in the preceding centuries. Much knowledge, much wisdom. There's a verse, 1 Corinthians 6:12. It says, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. The Message says that, you know, can you have it in the Message, please? It says, just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. And we have to ask ourselves, we're in an age where we reason a lot. A lot of us were very smart, but we need to depend more on the Spirit. We know the technicalities, we know the rights and the wrongs. In fact, most of us, we have legal degrees already without studying law. But are we dependent on the Spirit? Praise the Lord. Let us avoid sin. Let us avoid technicalities, legality, and let us depend on the Holy Spirit. Let us understand the times we're in. Let us seek God in a place of solitude. Let us create time. Let us avoid distractions. Let us be focused, not being ignorant of the enemy's devices. Let us be constant in the place of prayer. Let our prayers be Spirit-led. Let it be word-based. If we lack a burden, let us ask God to give us a burden. Praise the God. Before I go to sit down, I'll just share one other thing. Sometimes when we pray, we say it a lot that we should learn to listen in the place of prayer. Beyond listening, so we listen, we hear what God is saying. when God starts doing what he wants to do, let us actively observe. Praise God. Let us actively observe. I mean, classic example, Eliezer, Abraham's servant in Genesis 24. We're not going to read it, verses 10 to 21. You can check it out. He prayed a purposeful prayer, very specific. And he watched. After he finished praying, God answered his prayer. But he did not jump to see whether, you know, things are happening. God is answering my prayer. He observed. And everything he observed was as God wanted it to be. When we pray, are we patient to see when God is doing his things? I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Prayers that accomplish. Like we said, we're still fasting for the whole of the month of February. It is not enough for you to fast. Jesus Christ said that some things do not go out except by prayer and fasting. Let your fasting be accompanied by prayers. Look at Mark 8:28-29. Let your fasting be accompanied by prayers, but the prayers, pray with understanding, pray with the Spirit, and God will cause things to begin to happen for you. Shall we rise to pray?